Hello and welcome to the Luke Miller podcast. We are on, believe it or not, we are on week 28 of this as we started a journey back in January, and now we find ourselves really at the beginning of October, and we've been looking at the book of Proverbs, and more specifically, wisdom within the book of Proverbs, which is pretty much the book of Proverbs. And as we've been doing this, we've been taking a look at different topics and moving around through different passages in the actual book to see where God leads us in wisdom. We've covered family, we've covered friendships, we've covered just wisdom and our use of words in general. And last week we took a look at what this really means for us in discerning God's will. The number two topic, as surveyed by, I think it was 5,000 people, this was in the 2000s, I guess we're still in the 2000s, but the early 2000s, for what they'd like to hear their pastor preach on, and the number two was God's will and identifying God's will in your life. And so last week we took a look at a very interesting grouping of passages. But more importantly, myths that we often find ourselves getting caught up in as we look to discern God's will in our life. And everything is revolving around this passage that we see in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, which is, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." And we used a second verse as well, which is Proverbs chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, which says, "When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you." And then also this, "For these commands are a lamp, and this teaching is a light." And the myths, just to recall, if you need some recollection, were one that the myth that God's will is hard to find. And when we take a look at this, one of the biggest things that we see is that Scripture really leads us and guides us. We use the example of how just in the last couple of weeks, we've taken a look at how God seeks us to be as husbands and wives, as grandparents and parents and children. And so often we don't spend time actually in the Bible seeking God's will. And the second myth was that God wants us to know the future, and rather, he is illuminating our steps. You know, we have to trust him that he knows the future, but for us, he's illuminating the steps in front of us and leading us as we go. And then the other is that we need to be 100% sure before we make a decision. And it's all about trusting God. And the last one, which I think is probably, I don't want to say it's the most controversial, but it's the one that we probably don't like the most, which is that God's greatest goal is my happiness, which it's not. We saw in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that it's God's will that is transformational, right? It's God's will that you should be holy. So building off that, I want to continue today and actually get to the verse I wanted to talk about last week, which is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, which covers kind of a few key areas. And really, I would want to suggest more so that this passage gives us really two key responsibilities. One, we need to lean on the Lord and learn to love him with everything that we've got. And then when we do, he promises to lead us. Right? So then our task is to lean and learn. It's God's job to lead us, but we need to be able to lean on him and learn from him as we go. If we're looking at leaning on the Lord, the word trust in Hebrew literally means to lean with your whole body or to rest with one's full weight. For anyone who's ever tried to put a toddler to bed that doesn't want to go to bed, you know what happens when all of a sudden they just give themselves dead weight and will not help you in any way in getting to your room. All of a sudden, they seem to weigh a whole lot more. Now that you're having to carry all of them, no one's wrapping their arms around your neck, and instead it is just the full weight of a toddler as you try and get them to bed. That's kind of this rest one's full weight. We think of trust as putting our assurance in someone, but really it's more than that, at least in the book of Proverbs and in the Bible. The word carries this picture and this idea of stretching yourself upon a bed or on a hard surface with full confidence that you will not be let down. When you trust, you put your full weight on something, all right? Every part of you puts your weight on it. And then we have to also see that to trust in the Lord is to rest your full weight, then everything you've got is on Him, all right? The full weight of God is on that bed as you lie on it, you know, or on that hard surface. Every part of your weight is trusting God. And in that visualization, and we see, I mean, here the title, The Lord, where it says trust in the Lord, or lean on the Lord, as some translations have, is the name of God, the personal name of God, that we in English often will translate as Yahweh or Jehovah. But it focuses on God's covenant making and God's promise keeping and that character trait of God. So we're called to trust an unchanging God, a God who makes and keeps his covenants, right? And it's very important because often we see this trust in the Lord and we don't think of these smaller words and unpack them. But even in just the two key words in the first four of our verse, we see what trust means. And we also are able to unpack just how much is reliant on God, right? Trust in a covenant-making God. Trust in a promise-keeping God, right? Now, doesn't that make our Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 sound already a little stronger if we translate it that way, the way that we've unpacked it? So where it will say, trust with everything you've got in the Lord who is a promise-keeping God, right? All of a sudden, there is a little more, I want to say, assurance and peace as you read that, as you start to unpack it. If we look at Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25, it says, whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. I mean, again, that use of the Lord. Whoever trusts in the covenant-keeping, promise-keeping God is kept safe. Now, in this, we're called to total trust and complete commitment. Trust in the Lord, what? With all your heart. That same word, all, is used actually in Leviticus chapter 22 to refer to an offering that was to be burnt in its entirety. Really, what it's saying is God doesn't want half-hearted devotion. He wants us to be like offerings on the altar where we give ourselves without reservation to Him. If we look at it in a church setting, you know, coming to church was never meant to be just a hobby or something that I like to do. It was meant to be that was something that was regular. And yet in North America, we see that regular church attendance is considered actually three-quarter time church attendance. But even when it comes to reading our word or gathering with one another or discipling others, I mean, choose a topic and no matter what it is, it's saying trust in the Lord with all your heart. That devotion to being a Christ follower and to God is one that is full, just like that Leviticus chapter 22. And as we take a look at the word heart here, it refers to more than just a place where feelings come from. And I'm sure you've heard this before, but in the Old Testament, the heart was considered the center of the mind, the will, and the emotions, which is where you get a lot of passages, especially the Deuteronomy chapter 6 passage, right? And Jesus actually quotes it as he's talking to one of the religious leaders. But we're to trust God with all that we are, with all of our feelings, with all of our thoughts, with all of our decisions, knowing that God's will is not a matter of learning some sort of tricky algorithm. It's not It's not some form of you need to learn this complicated formula in order to decipher God's will. It's rather trusting in Him with our feelings, our thoughts, and our decisions, all of them. And verse 5 continues, it says, "And lean not on your own understanding." To lean means to rest upon something for partial support. It's what you do when you feel a bit unsteady. You could think of it as using a cane. Or for those of you who've been to IKEA, you've surely gone through the process where you thought you know what the next step is, and you don't read the instructions. Of course, I'm not talking from my own experience. But I can tell you, from things that I've heard, again, not from my own experience, is that attempting to put together an IKEA bed or a dresser can be a very enriching experience if you follow the instructions. If you do not, it can be one of the most frustrating experiences of your life. And so we look at this and say, well, what if we only took a look at one piece of the instructions? How much harder would it be for us to actually get to our final product? How much longer would it be if we had to go to get to our final product? Would we start and move forward and then realize we've made a mistake and then go back some more and then move forward a bit more and start to assemble things some more and everything starts to look like, oh, I think I have a bed frame now. And then you pull back and realize, oh, I forgot to put in the legs or the slats or whatever it may be. But that's just it, right? If we just follow the instructions, although maybe IKEA is a bad example for that, but if we just follow the instructions, what the little pictures say will actually be what ends up at some point. If we don't have that and we don't lean on that, or we only half-heartedly lean on that and try and go on our own understanding, all of a sudden it becomes more unsteady. And you find yourself going backwards. You find yourself getting discouraged. And so we're given this positive statement. Lean fully on God. But then we come to a rebuke, which is don't trust your own understanding. Right? Understanding refers to this mental process that we use to analyze a problem, break it down into smaller parts, and have to then make a decision about what we're going to do. Some of us pray not to find God's will, but to get His approval after what we want, you know, after what we want to do. So we pray and kind of hope that God will give us His approval after we've already made the decision. I think most of us at times would believe that we can figure things out on our own. We can do just fine by ourselves. But if we're serious and very serious about making wise decisions, we must fight against that internal inclination to trust what we think is best. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't use common sense or wisdom that God gives us, but it does mean that we shouldn't lean on our own understanding for total support. If we're trying to figure out life and handle every decision that comes our way, we're going to be in trouble if we only rely on us. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death." So, you know, it starts off great, but it's very antithetical, right? There's a way that seems right to a man. And I feel like the way this is being written is for those people who only want to hear the first part or hear what they want to hear, which is, there is a way that seems right to a man. Oh yeah, there is a way. You know, I've been doing the right way. And then, but if you read the last part, it says, but in the end it leads to death, right? And Proverbs 28:26 brings it up as well. He who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. And of course, when it's talking about wisdom here, it's talking about the wisdom that's given to us by God. So we must avoid leaning on ourselves. And yet, at the same time, we now see that we need to learn from God. Right? So here's what we know so far about this passage. One, lean on God, give yourself totally to Him, and just give everything to to him when it comes to emotions, decisions, in your life. If we look at the first part of verse 6, we're urged to actually do a second thing in our passage, which is learn from God. And in this passage, it's actually stated in the imperative. And so we take that as a command. That's how the Ten Commandments are written, in this imperative form, as a command form. From now until ever, this is what you should do. So in all your ways, acknowledge him. I mean, in all your ways, literally saying in everything you do, in every detail of your life. It refers to a journey or a distance between two points, not just on Sundays, but everything between Sunday to Sunday, if we want to look at it in North American culture. And the word acknowledge carries this idea of this communion with God. And often it's used to the same nuance is used to describe the marriage relationship. We could translate it in this way. In everything you do, make sure you know the Lord. It's kind of knowing that only comes by personal experience. When we know God's heart, we will never question his will, because we know God's will is really all about knowing God. So I guess the question that we have to ask ourselves is, are we willing to acknowledge God and invite God into every area of our life and focus on knowing him in this very intimate way, in this very personal way? And asking, are there areas in our life that we have not allowed God access to? And I think it's safe to say that we can probably all pick out one or two or five or 10 different areas that we haven't given God access to. We've said as we look at this passage, right, is, you know, we're not translating it the way that trust in the Lord with everything you've got, or with everything that you have, trust in a God who keeps his promises. We're saying trust most things in God and also lean on a bit of your understanding. You know, we're not reading that passage the way it should be. And so that challenge is that, and that experiment is saying, what are we going to give God access to that we haven't this week? I wonder what would happen if in church we look at the pursuit of God and relentlessly pursuing God, and what that would do and how that would even just radically change some of the ways we do things in our own lives, in the life of church, as we know more about God's will. We see that he will lead us, right? He will make our path straight. And there's an intensity to this word make. God is committed to pull out everything to go to work when we lean on him and learn to love him. But we have to be willing to just do that. Make our path straight. He promises something so much deeper. He will make our path straight, which means that he will make it clear what direction we should go and will help us navigate through whatever life follows us or puts us through. In the context of this passage in ancient Israel, people generally traveled to destination by foot. And there's a lot of hilly and rocky terrain, especially if you have to leave Jerusalem. Paths and roads had to zigzag between hills and valleys, and it made the journey longer and longer than it actually would have been, right? Solomon is telling us in this passage that life is like a journey that goes up into the mountains one day and swerves down into the valleys the other day. Sometimes the road is washed out or there's obstacles along the path. But when we decide to give God ourselves fully over to God and trust him totally, he will straighten out our path and remove those obstacles and those hills and those valleys and everything. That straight path is not always easy, but it does lead away from sin and destruction and points us to a deeper relationship with Christ. You know, I think that's probably the best place to stop in that, because I don't know how I can build to beyond the fact of saying that a straight path isn't easy, but it does lead us away from sin and destruction. And at the end, it gets us to where we want to go, which is that deeper relationship with Christ. So I'm going to stop for there for today, and next week we'll continue on in our passage or in Proverbs and look more at wisdom. And I'm going to take a little more look at the words we use or how we use our words. And so I'm excited for that. I want to thank you for joining me again. We're on week 28, and I'm looking forward to many more. So let me just pray, and then we'll finish up. God, I just thank you for today. I just thank you for how we can seek your will, how we can discern where you're leading us. But God, I just pray that we will be focused on you. We'll be able to lean everything we have on you, and that we will be able to learn from you, knowing that as we do this, you will lead us, and that we'll have a deeper fellowship and deeper relationship with you. I pray that this week we will give access to you, to those areas in our lives that we haven't given access to you, and that we've kind of tried to keep hidden away. And so our prayer is that we will be able to start going to you with absolutely everything. And so we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done in our lives and continue to do in our lives, and just pray that we'll be able to actively and relentlessly follow you. I just pray these things all in your holy and amazing name. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining us and joining me. I'm looking forward to next week as we dive into this. But until then, take care, have a great week, and we'll talk next week.